You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Here Come to Judge. Well, how many of you know that reference? All those people are over 50 that just raised their hand. There's a show back in the late 60s, early 70s called what? Laughing. And one of the skits on that thing, I think Sammy Davis Jr. even did it. And it was a guy had come in, oversized wig, robe, here come to judge. And it was a stuffy magistrate, black robe and oversized wig. And the judge bantering with the defendant brought before the court. So it was just kind of a funny skit. And here come to judge. Well, I think another judge is coming. Here we go. Go to Psalm chapter 28. Now, I know before I start reading these scriptures and getting into this, whether it's in the room or beyond, there are people who will check out. You say, it's too intense. Why don't you do something light, airy, fluffy, something easy for us? Here's why I don't back off of these things. The way I understand this, and when I get into what I'm going to read today in these scriptures, there's a meeting coming between each one of you watching, listening, or in the room. And your wife is not going to bail you out. Your husband's not going to bail you out. It's you and God. And whatever your misnomers are about this meeting or misunderstandings or whatever you've come up with, it's not going to be a perfect meeting for anybody, really. And we all operate under this assumption that we're going to drop dead and look at Jesus in the eyes, and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, and that's it. There's just way more scripture to go with that meeting. And so if you live your life and you attend a church, you attend a gathering of a church, and you could say somehow, well, I got there, like, nobody told me about this. Well, let me tell you something about that. You are responsible for this, right? If you got a Bible, you got a brain, you are responsible for the book. It's like signing off at a job where they give you an employee handbook and then you do something stupid and they go, I didn't know about that. And they go, well, you signed here that you read the whole handbook. Oh, right? So going to be a lot of oh one day, but I'm trying to read you these things and tell you these things that are in the handbook so that when you get there, you'll say, you know what? I knew this was coming. I'm somewhat prepared, if not very prepared, because I understood what needed to happen to be prepared. So Psalm 28, let's start with verse 1 on this one. Psalm of David, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their heart. Evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Now you keep reading these things, you think, oh, it's just poetry. Let me tell you something, this is not poetry. This God is not messing around. He is a holy God. And redeeming us, reaching us, cost him his only son. So this is not some game. This is very expensive from his perspective. And when he says he's going to give you according to your works, whatever you've done, and you get what you deserve, man, if I got what I deserved, I'd have been long gone. And I will not get what I deserve when I die, when I stand before God, because someone else took on what I deserved. But I will still give an account. Even though my account is paid, I will give an account. And let's get into this. Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now just think about some evil thing that you know, you do, you think something going on in your life has gone in your life, and you think no one knows, and maybe no one knows but you, but God knows. And he says, it's coming out. You say, well, if it doesn't come out in my lifetime, I made it. What if it comes out in front of him? And then you have to deal with that. You say, well, I don't know. What do I do there? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you're not a Christian, you've got a world of sin to deal with. Go to the cross, let the blood cover it, accept Christ into your life, and get on with it. Because you can't carry that load, and you don't want to face this awesome God with sin on you. You will not survive that meeting. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, if you just track this a little bit, if you've got chaos in your life, you've got consequence in your life, if you just stop for a minute and say, okay, God, is there any chance that any of this stuff going on in my life is connected to something I have done? And that you are trying to get my attention somehow with the consequence so that I will stop doing that. And then you read this verse, search the heart, test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So whatever you're doing, he knows it all. You think, well, he doesn't know this. I'm thinking stuff. I'm doing something secretly behind the scenes. No one knows it. I'm stealing from work. I'm whatever you're doing. You think he doesn't know? He knows it's coming out. It's the old phrase, whatever you cover, he'll uncover. Whatever you uncover, he'll cover. And people think, well, but I'm going to get away with it. You get away with nothing since you end up standing before a holy God. There's no getting away with it. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew 5:16 says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So this is very interesting. It says, let your light so shine. You wait, but he's the light. No, he said, yes, he is the light of the world, but then he says, you're the light of the world. If it's a dark world and you're in it, then you show up in a situation and now the light's on. That's why people want to get away from you because it's his light in your life. You're the light of the world. And now you're letting your works, your good works, let them see your good works that they'll glorify your Father. So part of walking in the light, being light, is you do good works. Now, the confusion about this has been going on for millennia. People think if I do good things, then God will let me into heaven. I ended up playing golf with a buddy the other day. They put us with two old guys that were in town because a friend of theirs had died. We go through this whole round. Somehow this friend of theirs dying came up. And all I said to these two old guys, they found out I was a pastor. I didn't heavy hand anything. But I said to one of them, I said, so where's your buddy today? That's all I said. And he said, well, I know what you probably believe, but I don't know that I believe that. And he was a good man. Well, what did he tell me? Conversation over, all you got to do is be a good person and you end up in heaven or wherever you end up. That sounds nice. It's just not the truth. And you say, well, how do you know it's not the truth? Because the book says it's not the truth. You can't prove it. Drop dead. I'll prove it. You drop dead, you'll find out pretty quick that's the truth. There is no way to God. There's no way to getting into heaven but through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, the life. It's all in there. You say, well, you just believe all that by faith. What are you believing by faith that's going to get you anywhere? So how are we supposed to be living? We let our light so shine among men that they see our good works. So ask yourself the question, I ask myself the question, what am I doing every day of my life that demonstrates that I am letting my light shine and the fact that it's shining is that I am doing good works. I am letting God use me in the world. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, so if what you've built with, going back to the list, And I recommend gold, silver, precious stones, because the wood, hay, stubble go poof in the fire. But whatever you've built with, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. That's a fact. That's a promise. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So your whole life is subjected to this fire, and you go, okay, God, okay, let's go. Hit me. You know, the fire hits you. And you say, what survived? And he says, nothing. Nothing survived. You survived. And you think, God, but this is my life. This is all I have. I can't go back. I can't fix it. He says, no, you can't. So what does it say about you there? He will suffer loss. There you'll stand before Jesus and go, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I pay attention? Why didn't I give my life to something other than myself? And now I have nothing. And saying, oh, I gave a wing to a hospital. If it's not in Jesus' name, if it's not for his glory, if it's not about him, it's going to go poof in the fire. It's gone. Now, you'll make heaven anyway. That's not the discussion here. You will suffer loss. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now, that you can underline. That's one of the coolest things you'll ever find in the Bible. Look what he said. Bring to light hidden things of darkness, reveal the counsels of the heart, then each one's praise will come from God. What if you get to that moment and you got something that worked in your life and it's God praising you? Wow, great job. You trusted me, you followed me, you obeyed me, you served me, you let me live in and through you. And now look what you have to show for that. You have something that I can reward you for. And not only that, I praise you for that. So we spend our lives either praising God or not. And then it turns out if we praise him and live according to the scriptures and what he wants, there's a moment where he can praise us. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. It's going to happen. Now I understand you go, dude, I don't care. I don't care. This is all I'm going to give him. This is it. I'm done. I'm not going any farther with Jesus than this. And you think, okay, that's how it's going to work. The miscalculation in all my years of doing ministry, the miscalculation on the part of most Christians is they think, oh, I can just say that and nothing will happen. There is something called consequence. There's discipline. If you are his child, then he is going to discipline you. He is going to say, okay, I get that you have chosen to disobey. You're stiff-arming me, stiff-necking me, and you're going to do what you want to do. But guess what? I'm going to do what I want to do too. And I love you enough that I'm coming for you. And yes, there will be consequence down the road in the end on the other side, but there's going to be consequence on this side because you are too expensive for me not to finish this job. And so he turns the dial. And finally, as I keep saying, you got to say uncle sometimes before you say father. You go, okay, stop. I yield. I submit. I repent. I change my mind. I don't want to do what I want to do anymore. I want to do what you want me to do. And the sooner you do that, the sooner you get on your life and being able to do these things that I'm talking about, that we're reading about, where you have something to show, you have something to say when you get to the other side. Go to 2 Thessalonians 1. Gosh, this is part of the reason some people don't read the Bible is they don't want to read this stuff. 2 Thessalonians 1, go down to verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, writing to Christians, Paul, to the Christians in Thessalonica, writing to you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So your faith is growing like crazy and you love each other like crazy. And that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, what is that? You say, well, I want to be in that pile. Don't be in that pile then. Don't be that person. Trust him, follow him, believe. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because of our testimony among you was believed. Ephesians 2. Now I'm going to read you Ephesians 2 because I'm about to read you James 2. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. So this is what I finally came to understand. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Go to James chapter 2, verse 12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren? Now look at these verses. What does it profit, my brethren? And he's writing to Christians. The issue here is not, are they Christians or not? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, you claim to be a Christian, you say you have faith, but you've been sitting on your butt for decades. It doesn't make any sense. You say, but you're questioning my faith. No, I am checking the tree. You go to my house right now. I screwed up. I did not even know this was a thing. I know it's a thing now because I read it in the scriptures. I have a destroyed peach tree at my house. I'm propping up branches that are snapping. There is so much fruit on these trees, but the fruit is tiny. And the fruit is tiny because I don't know anything about fruit trees. And I didn't know that I was supposed to prune branches that would cause the fruit on other branches to explode and it wouldn't destroy the tree. There's a way to do it. But the point of scripture is, if you read this, if it's a peach tree, it's going to produce peaches at some point. If you got no peaches, what are you? I'm a peach tree. Where are the peaches? If there's no fruit in your life, you say you're a Christian. And the Bible says, okay, you say that. Where is the fruit? Well, I'm in the Secret Service. Verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren? Someone says he has faith but does not have works. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, so he gives some examples. A brother or sister, naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. That's my interpretation, of course. God bless you. Naked, no clothes, no food. God bless you. Go in peace. Be warmed and filled. With what? Be warmed and filled with what? You're standing right there. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? What are you doing? You say you have faith and you do nothing. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, in other words, if it doesn't do something, it's dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? So God said, trust me, believe me, sacrifice your son. He didn't just say, oh, I hear what you're saying. He took his son to sacrifice him. He did it. Or do you see that faith was working with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. In other words, you prove that you have faith by the works that come out of that. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So if you see someone that claims to be a Christian and they have no fruit, they have no works in their life, they look like a corpse. Now, if you're wondering why people are not responding to me, to you, to us as Christians, it's because when they look at us, we are corpse Christians. They go, you're dead. There's no life. There should be joy. There should be peace. The Spirit should be blowing out the branches of our lives. And part of that is we get involved. We do things. We take action. We don't just say, oh, too bad, or God bless you, or hope that works out for you. We do something. It takes time. We have a conversation. We show up. We do whatever God tells us. We are his hands, his feet. What would he do? We do that. 1 Peter 2, a few more and we're out. 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2:11 says this, "Beloved," to Christians again, "I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles," lost people, "that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Go, yeah, we said bad things, but that's a good guy. That's a great lady. We knew something was different because they weren't just talking religion. They were doing things. And for some reason in our culture, when people hear stuff like this, they go, oh, this means I need to give a hamburger to the guy on the corner at the stoplight. Maybe, but it's got to go way past that. Your radar's running. You hear a need and you say, Holy Spirit, is that us? Is that me? Is that someone else or is that me? And you're not trying to get away from it. You're not trying to, ooh, blah, 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 I didn't hear that. And when he says, yeah, that's us, we're going to take care of that, you go, okay, let's go. But what if we were on the way to and it's going to be an inconvenience? I bet it wasn't a real convenience for Jesus to hang on the cross. A little inconvenient, wouldn't you say, to die and absorb all of our sin? And how many times do people tell you, man, I thought it was going to be a pain in the butt, and I went and did it, and it turns out we were trying to help these people and serve these people, but when I got home, I realized, man, I'm the one that got the blessing, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Get on the other end of the equation. And then 1 Peter 4:17. And this verse is really where all this kind of came out of for me. There's a lot of crazy stuff always going on in the world and in the church as well. But we don't help our cause when we are the ones causing people to accuse us of hypocrisy. So look at this, 1 Peter 4:17. "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" So if he's going to start with the church first, and I think that has been going on for a long time, but God has a way of blowing things up and exposing things. You say, well, those people out there in the world, and they're evil people. You know what? It turns out, it looks to me like the judgment starts here. Here. He doesn't start out there. Because we're supposed to be the people, the light. We're supposed to be the ones changing the world. They're supposed to see our good works. They're not supposed to see our hypocrisy and say, who needs God? So am I living in such a way? Am I speaking in such a way? Am I still impatient? When does it become seamless where I say, Lord, just use me. Help me get out of the way. Judge me, God. Search me. Search my heart, oh God. Some evil thing in me, whatever's going on, clean me out. Start here. Start here in the church. Start here with me. And then move out and get us in a position so that we are ready to go. The world is not ready to go. Most people I encounter, they don't know where they're going. They don't know what they believe. And I got the answer.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Revelation 20, one more, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." So everything I've done, everything I say, everything, give an account. You say, well, I thought that was all forgiven. Apparently it is forgiven. But something after you become a Christian, there's still an accountability. There's still some responsibility. And I'm just encouraging you to pay attention to that, whether it's what you think, say, or do. Not hypocritically, not manipulatively, but genuinely say, God, live in me and through me. Fill me with you. because I know that sooner or later, and probably sooner, here come the judge.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.